even though many of you are no doubt minds, as Bill said, or Ted, to put our minds on heavenly things, it's some of you may be difficult today with the Super Bowl coming up. But I would remind you that February is really about love. It's really about Valentine's Day that is coming up around the corner, and where we're reminded of the commitment and the love that we have for our wives and our sweethearts. And I'm sure there are women in the audience that are glad that today is the Super Bowl, because after today, the football season is over. And it reminds me of a woman that I heard the story complaining about her husband, that every year football season, all he could think about was football. And finally she had enough and she said, "You really love football more than you do me, don't you?" And he looked at her without batting an eye and he says, "But I love you more than I do basketball." The book of Hosea is a wonderful love story. And in this story, it depicts God's love for us. And that truly is the world's best love story. It's not just the love that Hosea had for his wife, Gomer, but the love behind that God has for us as His people. We all can look back and remember that time in our lives when perhaps as a young teenager we had that wonderful romantic feeling that came over us, and we were in love, and we might have struggled with those feelings at first and trying to form those words, "I love you," and to maybe hear those words back from that other person of the opposite sex. And it was a special time. It was a special feeling in our life. We probably remember the moonstruck feeling of sitting out on a clear night and seeing that moon up there, and those feelings coming over you even stronger, and feeling that you truly were in love. And of course, the Bible, when it speaks about love, there are different words for love that are used in the Bible. There is some loves that are just on a human level, some that are dealing with a romantic type of love, but there is that love of agape love that the Bible emphasizes, that is the love that God has for us. The love that, when the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved, He uses that term of agape love. Even as we've grown older, many of us, and with our wives and husbands, can still have that feeling, and we can still celebrate that love, that romance in our marriage relationships. And perhaps Valentine's is a good time for that, but it shouldn't stop and end there. It should grow, and it should continue throughout life to, as we look back and say, "You know, we've been married all these years and I love her now so much more than the day we got married." And that's how it should be in our marriage relationships. The book of Hosea should be the best loved book in the world. If it's true that the world loves a love story. And I believe that that is true. That the book of Hosea can be compared with the greatest love stories in the world. Whether you're talking about Pride and Prejudice and the love of Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth and the romance of Jane Austen stories, or if you are a Downton Abbey fan and wondering now we're in season 5, what's going to happen with Mary and the latest two gentlemen that are courting her, so to speak. So those great love stories, we're all drawn to those. And sometimes the guys aren't so much. They talk about, these are just chick flicks. And I remember, I've always thought it was cute in the Sleepless in Seattle, the scene where the two husbands were laughing at their wives sitting around the table. They start in tears coming in their eyes, thinking about some romantic story. I think maybe it was Pride and Prejudice. I can't remember. And then 2 minutes later, they're talking about the Dirty Dozen movie, and the guys are in tears. You know, that just draws the tears out of them as they think about the ending of that war movie. So guys have those feelings, but sometimes we don't know how to express them. We don't do a very good job telling our wives how much we love them. Like a man who his wife, after many years, she said, "Honey, you never tell me that you love me." And he said, "Well, I told you when we got married, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know." You know, so that's how some of the guys are. You know, we just don't realize how much that means to our wives that we express that love that we have for them. Book of Hosea, though, truly is not only one of the great romance stories of all time, but it is unique among those stories and deserves, in many ways, to be the most amazing story of all, because behind it is the love of God for His people. And as the story of Hosea and Gomer and the love that he had for her is an amazing story that depicts and illustrates and helps us to appreciate and understand how great God's love for us is. The story of Hosea really begins in the northern kingdom of Israel. The setting is in the city of Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom, and takes place at a time, as he says in the first verse here, that the word of the Lord came to Hosea in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So he sets that time in the very beginning. Hosea was a prophet over the reign of those four kings. This makes him really living the same time as Isaiah, the prophet, in a time in the kingdom of Judah that these four kings and Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. But it helps us to realize that this was a time of great unfaithfulness of the northern kingdom, and maybe a lesser degree, even the southern kingdom, that God's people had wandered astray from God, and that even to worshiping idols, which in the mind of God is that of adultery to the marriage relationship and to the covenant that he had made with God. Because when God entered into the covenant relationship with the people of Israel, it was on the terms that they would be his special people. He said, "If you will indeed keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." He said in Leviticus chapter 26 that I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. The terms of that, the understanding of that behind it was that this would be a pure relationship of God with his people, that they would be that he would be their God and their only God. It was not to be understood that God would only be one God among many in the hearts of his people, but that they would be a relationship of faithfulness. God would be their God and live among them, and they would be his people, and they would worship him and him alone. And that was the understanding. But as history unfolded, and it became evident that the people of Israel did not live up to that standing. And no doubt God understood that about them before he entered into that covenant. As we look back, as we think of God making that covenant with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, that surely God must have known, even at that time, that it was unrealistic to expect that these people would really live up to that pledge on their part. And yet God entered into the covenant with them. Now, after hundreds of years have gone by, and there is this young man, Hosea, who is a very zealous young man, a very zealous prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. A young man who has devoted his life to God and preaching to the people of Israel that they should be faithful to God. The problem is not with Hosea. Hosea is a man of God. He is a young man who's very inspiring, very idealistic. A man who is pure in his heart and his commitment to the Lord of hosts. And yet he is given a very strange command here in the beginning of this book. That when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go and take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." God here gave a command to Hosea that seems very strange for God to instruct his prophet to marry a woman who would be unfaithful to her husband. I don't understand this to mean that he was telling Hosea to go and marry a woman of the streets, necessarily, a woman of known prostitution or harlotry at that time of her life. It seems more likely that what he is simply saying is that this young woman that Hosea had met, that he loved, that he was wanting to marry, would prove to break his heart, just as the people of Israel had broken God's heart. And yet God said, "Go ahead and marry her. And by that you will come to understand how it feels to me, what my people have done to me." So even though it seems a strange command, God had a reason behind this. And Hosea, in hearing that command from God, probably understood it in the sense that, well, I know she's not perfect. I know that the nation is not perfect, but I do love her, and I have very high hopes for her, that she will live up to her. There's some things in her past that may not be good, but God has brought us together, and I feel that she is right for me. She will be the woman that can be, and I have that be good husband to her, that we can have a good marriage together. But Hosea was wrong about that. She was not going to be the faithful wife that he thought she could be. And yet God instructed him to go ahead and marry her. And so the day came and the wedding took place, and Hosea and Gomer were married. And we can picture that in our minds, perhaps, that here they are coming down the aisle together. And here is this young man, Hosea, who is so admirable young man. He has a heart of gold. He has a zeal for God. And he is smiling and looking into the eyes of his young bride, and just with that pure love and devotion that he has. And as they come forward, the priest asks the question, who gives this woman in marriage? And her father, Diblaim, is standing there, and he says, her father gives this woman in marriage. And they're asked the question, do you take her to be your wife? And Hosea, without hesitation, yes. Smiling. And the question, looking into the eyes of Gomer, do you take this man, Hosea, to be your husband? And she says, yes, I will take him to be my husband. And so the wedding comes, and they are married, and they are husband and wife. And she becomes pregnant, and she's going to have a daughter. And in Hosea 1 and verse 3, he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. I said a daughter. The daughter was the second. They have three children. And yet the names of these children that God instructed them are very strange. As these children are born, Hosea begins to realize that something isn't right. That the names of his children that God is giving him, the first is the son, and the name of this son is Jezreel. And it means bloodshed. The name of his son means bloodshed. It is representative of the city of Jezreel, where Jehu called up and said that to the men of Jezebel there, throw her down in the street. And Queen Jezebel was thrown down. And the horses trampled her blood in the street. And that was a very sad, dark chapter in the nation of Israel. And to say, now call your first son's name Jezreel. What does that do? What does that remind the people? It is the city where bloodshed happened recently, not that long ago, in their nation. It would be like to a Jew to call your name Dachau or some of those dark names from the past. That why name a child that? Because it brings up all the worst things. And then after that, they have a daughter and call her name Lo-ruhama. No mercy. No pity. No love for her. That's the name that she has. And then they have another son and call his name Lo-ami. In verse 9. So these names that are given for the children is representing the fact that as the story is happening, Hosea beginning to realize that his wife is unfaithful to him. She goes out at night. She doesn't come home. She comes home late. Sometimes she doesn't come home at all. Hosea is looking the best of his wife, wanting to believe the best of his wife. She is the mother of my children. Where is she? Why isn't she here at home at night when she needs to be? And by the time the third child is born, even Hosea knows in his heart, she is not my child. These are not my children, really. They are from another man because my wife has been unfaithful to me. She has broken his heart. And the day comes that as the story unfolds and as the love story unravels, Gomer one day leaves home. She leaves him, and perhaps there is a note on the table. I cannot take it anymore. all of your preaching. You're out all day preaching to the people. I'm sick of it. I want a life for myself. I can't take it anymore living with you, a preacher, a prophet of God. What is there for me in this life? Yes, true. Hosea was an idealistic man, and the nation was in a state that he felt his calling was to go and preach to the people, to call them back to God, because God is warning that the Assyrian nation is coming and is going to bring them into captivity if they do not repent. He sees that as his number one priority in life, and yet here is his wife who is sitting at home. She does not have this heart for God that Hosea has. And so he comes home one day. She is gone and the note is on the table. I'm going with another man who will give me the life that I want to have. Here, you keep the children. So here's a young man, Hosea, who is left alone, heartbroken, to raise these three children, who he knows in his heart they're not really his children even. And yet he still loves his wife. Hosea still loves Gomer. Even though she has broken his heart. Even though she is going from lover to lover to lover. And the rumors are spreading throughout the community. Some people are saying, yeah, he'd been out preaching to everybody else. Why wasn't he home being a husband to his wife? Look what's happened to him. He got what's coming to him. So there were those rumors going around town that everybody knew why Gomer wasn't there anymore with Hosea. She's living with these other guys out here. And one moment she's with this man, now she's with this man, now she was this man. And at first it may have seemed like it was working out for her because some of these men may have had the money to give her a lifestyle. But none of it works out. And eventually she comes to be living with a man who can't even provide the basic necessities for Gomer. And she hits rock bottom, having this lifestyle that she has chosen. And yet Hosea still loves his wife. He hasn't given up on her. Gomer may have thought she was going to do better than Hosea, but now she has gotten to the point in her life, a lot like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, who went to the far country and then eventually was forced to tend the hogs. And, you know, he realized eventually what he had lost. But Gomer, I don't know that she ever had those thoughts, even at that time in her life. And yet Hosea still loved her. He couldn't forget her. And in that, he was like God. She was lured away by the hope of exciting clothing and lifestyle and all of these things that these men were maybe going to provide for her that Hosea would never be able to give her in her mind. But now look at her, where she has come to. And so Hosea goes to that house where he hears that she is. And he meets the husband. And he says, is there a woman here, Gomer? He says, yes, what is it to you? He says, I'm her husband. And the man draws his fist as if he is going to fight. And Hosea says, no. The reason I have come is, can I provide the necessities for her? Here, let me give you some silver and some gold so that you can buy for her clothing that she needs. She needs some new clothing. Can I at least buy that for her? And so he shows that he loves her. Even though she's not ready to come back or not willing to come back, he reaches out in that way to try to help Gomer, his wife. Because she's living with a man now who can't even provide the basic necessities. She's not even getting new clothing that she needs. So he goes out of his way to offer to pay for those things for her. In Hosea chapter 2, it says, "For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, 'I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink.'" But then when we drop down to verse 9, he says, "Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness." So Gomer received new clothing from this man that she was living with, and yet it was paid for by Hosea, and she didn't even realize that. She didn't thank him for it. That's representative of how we often hurt God, quite honestly. That we take in blessings, we take in all the blessings from God in our lives, and yet we think, "Oh, what a wonderful government we have that provides us with this lifestyle." Or, "Look at my career, all I have done to put myself in this nice home and driving this nice automobile," never realizing it's God that has blessed us in all of these ways. Yet do we stop to give Him the thanks? Do we, when we have not recognized Him as the husband that loves us as we should, and yet He still loved us and provided so many things, and yet we don't even stop to think that these things come from God in our lives. Attribute them to other sources that seem to have won our hearts over. So the love story goes on. Gomer didn't change her life at all as the result of this. But Hosea did not give up on her. In Hosea chapter 2 and verse 14, he said, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there in the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master." Those were God's feelings for the people of Israel. Because Israel has done the same thing to God over and over again. They've gone astray from God and they have not loved Him as their husband. And now Hosea has experienced it in his own marriage. But God, he sees that God still loves the people of Israel. So what does Hosea do? In chapter 3 of Hosea, God again instructs him to go and buy her back. "The Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans.' So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley." Gomer at this time had actually been sold into slavery. And they were holding an auction to sell her as a slave. And Hosea was standing out in the audience. And he raised his hand with the auctioneer and said, "I will buy her for this price of 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley." And the auctioneer says, "Sold," to the highest bidder. And he comes up and he takes Gomer by the hand. And he leads her back to his home. And he says to her, "You will again be my wife. I have bought you back. I have redeemed you. And you will live with me, and I will be your husband. And you will no longer go after other lovers." That is the beautiful love story behind the book of Hosea. That is what God did with the people of Israel. To win back her love, He would not give up on her. And Hosea would not give up on his wife. He bought her for 15 shekels of silver and said to her, "You shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too I will be with you." And Hosea's words to his wife were, "I want you to be faithful to me, but whether you're faithful to me or not, I promise I will be faithful to you all the days of my life because I love you." So he brings her back home and renews his pledge of his faithfulness to his wife who has broken his heart. And there are two lessons that we learn from the book of Hosea. And the first one is that God's love for His people never changes in spite of their unfaithfulness, in spite of our fickleness with God. Many of the people of Israel were two-timing God. They would pretend to be His wife, but then they would go out after other lovers. And Hosea experienced that in his marriage. God told him before he ever got married that's what would happen. And sure enough, it did with his wife, who was one of the women of that society, and her culture was more important of the kind of life she lived than her faith in God. But he didn't give up on her. God didn't give up on his people. We see that from this that God doesn't love you because of what you are. God loves you in spite of what you are. Each one of us, that's true. God has pledged His love to us, to be faithful to us. We may not be faithful to Him, but it doesn't change His commitment to reach out to us in His love. You see, in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, "O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away." The people of Israel were so prone, like many people today, to have the statement, anytime anything was wrong in life, "Oh Lord, we love you. We love you. Come back and bless us again. Send the rain. Send the crops. We love you, Lord." And then as soon as that happened, it was like the morning dew. It faded away and they were back following the other gods again. But in Hosea 11 and verse 8, "How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred." And in chapter 14 and verse 4, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him." That was the love of God for Israel. That's the love that we see in Christ extended to us. Because in the very beginning of the Scripture, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God drove them out of the garden, but immediately He gave the promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And the love of God and the justice of God met at the cross, and Jesus came and shed His blood and gave His precious life as the payment for our sins. Apostle Paul says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is the story of the Bible. That is the story of God in His unfailing, in His amazing love for His people. It was the amazing story of Hosea's love for his wife. As Isaac Watts said in his famous hymn, "When I Survey the Cross," he said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." The question for Gomer, the question for you and I is that love of God eventually going to win your heart? Are we ever going to see as human beings that the love that we expect to find out there in the world somewhere is never going to happen? It's always going to disappoint. It's our God who loves us, who has the best for us in His heart and in His mind. He's never going to give up on us. He's poured out His love. As Romans chapter 5 says, God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given. And so God has been faithful to us every step of the way. He's willing to redeem us, to go to the slave market and put down the money and say, "You need new clothing. You're threadbare living in sin where you are." And it's like the father in the prodigal son, that the son went away, and yet the father, when he sees the son coming down the road, he ran to meet him and hugged him and kissed him and celebrated and said, "Kill the fatted calf. My son has come home." It's the amazing story of God's love for His people. The best love story. Why is it that the book of Hosea is so little known and so little often taught and talked about and preached among God's people? Because that story should grip our hearts and pull us back to be His people, to be faithful to Him. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. If there are those present who need to respond to the invitation of the gospel, we hope that you will do that this morning, to commit your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, and raised up to walk in newness of life. And we hope that you'll respond today, that as you hear of the story of God's love for you, that it will touch your heart, and that will draw you to the foot of the cross, where God's love and justice meet, and the hope that He has for each one of us to be His people. Let's stand together and sing the invitation song. 743. Oh, land of